Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome once again to the Steve Jones Show. Steve will be joining us from the Sunbury Motors Studio here in just a few moments. Lots to talk about today with the Pittsburgh Steelers coming up. We'll talk about Mike Wallace's situation. Rumor has it he will return later this week. We'll find out the details in just a few moments. We'll get you updated on the Little League World Series as well. A couple of games going on later on tonight, one getting underway in about an hour from now as things start to wind down just a little bit. Matter of fact, let's talk about that now. It'll be Panama taking on Japan, the team from Tokyo, having a very good run right now, getting underway at Lomedy Stadium at 4 o'clock, and the 8 o'clock game will be Tennessee and Texas. One of the teams I want to see from the U.S. in the U.S. final. I would like to see Tennessee, and I would also like to see the California team go back at it again. That was a great game a few days ago.
Fabulous. We'll be talking with Todd Bartley at the Little League World Series at the bottom of the hour. And then we're going to bring in Tony DeFazio from the Pittsburgh Sports Report. That will be in the 4 o'clock hour to talk about your favorite topic, Mike Wallace.
Well, I'd like to be able to say that this will be the last we have to talk about Mike Wallace until he actually gets a new contract.
Tomorrow, Chris Wheeler will join us. Ray Dittinger will join us. And women's soccer coach Erica Walsh will join us tomorrow. Friday, Bill O'Brien, Matt McGloin, Mike Monty. Happy?
Sounds good to me.
Figured you would.
Hey, you know what I didn't say when I was previewing tonight's Little League World Series games? These are all teams that have not yet lost.
Right.
So that makes it an even better game.
Right. That's the best part. You're talking about undefeated teams so far that have nothing but success. So success breeds success. We'll see how it plays out and pans out tonight. Did you see the other day the Tampa Bay Rays? Tampa Bay Rays have been on an absolute roll. Okay? Absolute roll. They've been fabulous.
As long as somebody's in the game.
As long as what?
I thought that's where you were going with it. As long as one particular player was in the game, they've been playing. They play very well when he's there.
That's not where I'm going.
I thought you were talking about Longoria.
No, I'm not talking about Evan Longoria.
I mean, they're 26-11 with him and 42-44 without him.
Right. That's part of the story, but that's not the part of the story I'm aiming for.
Okay, sorry.
Tampa Bay's playing Kansas City today. It's 3-1. They're in the bottom of the sixth inning. Tampa Bay has been on an absolute roll. They're putting a lot of pressure, a lot of heat on the Yankees in the division. Everyone thought that the Yankees had it all wrapped up. They had, a 10-game lead at one point? Well, that lead's now 4 because Tampa Bay is 7-3, their last 10. They're winning again today. They're about to make it 3.5 games. They're 68-55, and as Kevin mentioned with Longoria back, they've been incredible. They played Kansas City after they came back from Anaheim after sweeping the Angels. And they drew 9,000 fans. Are you kidding me? 9,000 fans.
Judging by the attendance, you haven't. That's what it seems like, doesn't it?
They have the third best record in the American League. Third best overall. this is not a Johnny-come-lately team. This is a team that has been to the World Series, as Philly fans know. They beat Tampa Bay to win the 2008 World Series. And they have been a consistent playoff team for the last 5 years, now going on six. And they're exciting. They have great young talent on that team. David Price, starting pitcher in the All-Star game. Hey, Evan Longoria. Ben Zobrist. Carlos Pena. B.J. Upton. Longoria's a legitimate star. Upton's a legitimate star. And then you look at their pitching. David Price has been phenomenal for them. I mentioned he started in the All-Star game. He's won 16 games this year. But he's not the only guy. Jeremy Hellickson, who pitched a great game the other night. Really good. Matt Moore, great playoff run last year. Has picked it up, pitched the same this year. Really good. James Shields, really good. Fernando Rodney, really good. And they have a manager from Hazleton, Joe Maddon. It's one of the top minds and strategists in the game today and motivator in the game today, who has a great personality. And they can't get anybody to go to the ballpark. I mean, you talk about bad baseball towns. They're awful.
That might even beat my complaint with the Dodgers.
The Dodgers at least have people there. That's not...
Yeah, they just don't stay, but you're right. I mean, but that's a really... You know, there's been more people averaged at the Little League World Series games than there was at that game.
Yes. And that's my point. I mean, that's my point about what Tampa Bay has done. I mean, if this were a lousy baseball team, if this were the Rays of the late 90s, where the Red Sox would go in, win 18 out of 19, the Yankees would go in, win 18 out of 19 against them. But what is happening now is stunning.
You know, I've heard people talk about this before, and one of the
I know the park's lousy. I got that part.
Well, one of the things that I keep hearing people discuss about the Tampa Bay area is the fact that there are so many minor league teams nearby that the fan base is really widely distributed. Like, it's not just because you live in Tampa Bay doesn't mean you're a Rays fan. It could mean you're a Phillies fan because Clearwater's not that far away, or you know, what have you. That's the argument I hear from some.
Well, when the Rays play the Yankees, most of the place Yankee fans. When the Rays play the Red Sox, mostly Red Sox fans. My cousin Mark Clericuzio lives down in Orlando, and when my cousin Mike goes down to see him, two of them get together, and the Red Sox are playing Tampa Bay. They go over and watch because they're Red Sox fans. They grew up in the Boston area, so there's so many transplants down there.
That's the other thing I was going to say, is how many of those folks that live in the Tampa Bay area were actually born and raised in Florida, let alone Tampa.
But you look at what they've done. 2008, they won 97 games, won the division, won the ALDS, won the ALCS, lost in five games in the World Series of the Phillies. Averaged 22,370, or 12th in the American League in attendance. 12th. Then in 2009, right? 2009, yeah, they finished over 500. They were 84-78. They finished third. 11th in the league in attendance. A little bit of a bump up to 1.87. Okay. Then in 2010,
win 96 games, win the division, then lose in five in the league division series. I believe it was to Texas. I know they lost to Texas last year in four. They drew 23,000 a game, 1-8. Last year, they make the playoffs as the wild card team. They win 91 games. They beat the Red Sox out in that dramatic end of the season deal. Then they lose to Texas in the playoff in four games. I think Matt Moore won the first game in Arlington, and then the Rangers won the next three, if I recall the scenario. They're the wild card team. Their attendance dropped to 1-5. They drew 300,000 fewer fans last year. They were 13th out of 14th in the league in attendance. 13 out of 14. 1-5. They averaged 18-8 last year. This year, they are dead last in the American League in attendance. They've drawn 1.2 million so far. They're four games behind. They're averaging 20,000 a game. Do you know what their best year was for drawing?
Their first year.
Yeah. They went 63-99. They drew 2.5 million. 30,900 a game. They were seventh in the American League in attendance. That is the only time they've ever drawn 2 million. And from 98, when they were formed, until you get to 2007, they finished fourth once and dead last all the other times. Since then, they've been first, third, first, second, and now second. Two division titles, one American League pennant, three playoff teams, and a chance for a fourth. They're the wild card leader right now. And they can't get people to see them. Can't do it. And it is stunning. The dynamic. Ironically, they've dropped down their payroll along the way, too. But they can't get people to go. But Selig called it inexcusable and disappointing. And Selig said, talking to the principal, or Stuart Sternberg, said, what I've said to you in the past, I'll say to you again. And I've said this to Stu quite a bit. I've been through a lot of these things in the last 20 years, actually the last 40. I understand that. But look, they have a great operation, which they do. They're a very competitive organization, which they are. They have very competitive teams, which it's obvious. As I study the attendance every day, looking where they are to see that they're number 29, this is on July 10th, I think in attendance, it's inexcusable. Nobody can defend it. Average Major League Baseball attendance has been between 31 and 32,000. The Rays just went over 20,000 in average attendance in the last week. And this is a really good team. They drew 9,000 the other night. 9,000. I mean, the Spikes drew 5,000 the other night. It's remarkable. Dead last in the majors. Let's see. What's the home games percentage? Yeah, there's the percentage. They played at 59% of capacity.
The good news is there's plenty of good seats when you go to see a game.
Yeah, that's, you know. Philadelphia, 102% of capacity. Boston, 102% of capacity. Yankees, 87%. San Francisco, 99.6. And Tampa Bay, dead last. And you just can't. They lost, let's see, to the Royals. Let's see, it's a Tuesday's game. Let's see what the attendance was last night. And the attendance last night was in Tampa, 10,877. And I'll bet it's not higher than that today. 10,000.
10,000, did they have a promotion?
But, I mean, look how bad that is.
Well, I think you hit it. I mean, the fact that between the fact that there's all these minor league clubs around and the fact that most of the population didn't grow up in the Florida area, their allegiance has been long set with the teams that they grew up with. I think that that's part of the problem. Do you see the same thing with the Bucks? Do you see the same thing with hockey in Florida as well?
No. Kansas City, Monday night. Okay, Monday night game.
Okay.
They came off winning 4 straight against the Angels on the coast. Okay, they had Hellickson on the mound, really good. Beat Kansas City 5-1. They drew 9,913. Kansas City yesterday lost 1-0. 10,877. They've drawn 21,000 fans in 2 games. They barely have drawn their average per game in 2 games. What the heck? The Lightning are pretty good.
See, I was just looking at Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay's average attendance is 65,000 as their high. I shouldn't say their average. Their average is 56. 65,000 is their high. 47,000 is their low.
Although they love football and college football there. I mean, they love football and college football there. And Lightning attendance was up this year.
See, I just wondered if that was a symptom across the border just with baseball.
No, nope.
But it's a baseball
problem. Tampa Bay Lightning's actual attendance, people in the arena, took a jump in 2011-2012. Official attendance figures, tickets sold, distributed. They averaged 18,468 for a Tampa Bay Lightning game, up 7% from 17,268. They play, you know.
And as far as the Bucs are concerned, the only time that they've been below 50,000. Now, last year they had a little higher than the year before. They were 49,000 in 2010, 56,000 last year. But the only time they've been below 50,000 was back in the early 90s.
Right. And in terms of actual bodies in there per game, so the tickets sold are 14. And remember, when I'm talking about the number of the 9,900 and the 10,000, remember, those are tickets sold. Those are tickets sold. Those are not bodies in seats. How about that?
Yeah, that doesn't count the people that didn't show up. Yeah,
right.
I think that's a good point.
Official attendance for the Lightning, 18,468. So they average only 2,000 fewer per game hockey in Florida. Up 7% from the 17,268 the year before. Notably, though, too, is that the actual turnstile count, people actually in the building on the average, up 14% to 15,364.
What did you say the total attendance was last year for baseball?
For the Rays?
Yeah.
I want to say it was 1.5.
1.5.
Yeah, this year they've gone 1.2.
In 1976... the Bucs had almost 300,000 in 1976.
Yeah.
And that wasn't a great season.
No, didn't win. I mean, it's a baseball problem. The Bucs draw and the Lightning draw.
Now, the Lightning, by the way, and the Bucks both play on the Tampa side. The Rays play in St. Petersburg. In fact, I had a good view of the Tampa Bay St. Times Peep Forum out my window at the Outback Bowl. It's right behind the hotel. And that's where the Republican National Convention is going to be next week.
And just for the record, John McKay was 0-14 in 1976. And I believe that was the year he said, we can't win at home, we can't win on the road, we'd like to have a neutral site.
So news coming up bottom of the hour. Todd Bartley then steps in, talking about the Little League World Series as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
I'm sure you've browsed the web from time to time looking for a new or used vehicle and came across a few user-unfriendly websites. Kind of wasteful, right? It's time you could have been spending browsing the inventory and services you will always find at sunburymotors.com. Kia, Hyundai, Ford, Lincoln, new and quality used. There's a great selection and the best prices around. Their Black Book service takes the guesswork out of trading your car, and you can find out how much your car is worth with one click of the mouse. If you're looking for a commercial vehicle, Sunbury Motor Company has them. And you can browse online and take your time learning about Sunbury Motor Company's tire rewards, service department, parts, body shop, and much more. It's user-friendly and then some when you visit sunburymotors.com to see all their new and used inventory. Be sure to visit the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury or Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Business owners, listen up. Reducing your electric bill goes hand in hand with increasing your energy efficiency. And now you can accomplish both with a hand from Lenape Solar. Your approved PPL ePower Trade Ally. Upgrading to energy-efficient lighting in your facility has never been simpler or more affordable, and we do all the paperwork for you. The ePower Direct Discount Program for PPL customers pays you upfront for up to 75% of your project cost. And with the savings you'll clearly see, your project can easily pay for itself in less than a year. Lenape Solar is your trusted, local source for energy efficiency and solar energy solutions. And now is the time to lower your business's electric bill and increase your bottom line forever. With a hand from Lenape Solar. This is Tanya Diddy, and I invite you to schedule your free, no-obligation energy analysis today by calling 570-286-1496, visiting Lenape Solar at 140 South 2nd Street in Sunbury, or find us online at lenapesolar.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And that's powered by Lenape Solar. That's the Lenape Solar hotline at 800-795-9565. And thank you, Sunbury Motors Company. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Kevin, Sarah, and I, last night, were part of what I thought was a great event last night at the Edison, where it was just great to just rub elbows, meet, greet, and be a part of the people that helped make all of this happen. Our fabulous advertisers and those that work within the community. It was, I spent literally an hour over what I was supposed to be because I just thought I was having such a good time.
Well, that and I locked the door so you couldn't leave, even if you wanted to.
Yeah.
No, it was great. I was great. Yeah. I was. It was a great opportunity to get a chance to chat a little bit and, you know, and get a lot of people that don't have an opportunity to talk on the program or listen to the program and a chance to chat with you directly and find out what you think.
Well, and it was, again, for me, I've done this every year, but more so this year. Now that I'm officially a part of the family. And it is a family atmosphere that we have in the building. I think people can see right away, you know, how well Kevin, Sarah, and I that away from quote work, what good friends we are. They can see Sean Carey, Drew Kelly, Roger was there, you know, and it's a family atmosphere. Plus, our great sales staff was there as well. Oh, I forgot marketing consultants. Is that what you are?
That technically, yes. It's a great word. I love it because, you know, I'm here to help.
Who?
The people that advertise. It's my job to show give people an opportunity to hear the product and find the right match for your product and the customer.
I see.
It's a consultant.
Well, you do a good job.
You lie well.
But we have a great pool. And that's no surprise. I mean, it's a special area to even be considered even a tiny part of the area, a tiny part of what happens on the station. Thrilling. Great to be in the Mark Lawrence power chair yesterday.
In the big seat.
Yeah. But as I pointed out yesterday, and I think I said it on the show, is that you cannot have what he does in the morning, he is so good at. And I enjoy listening to it here, all right? Because I can hear it, because I have access, because of the studio here, to listen to everything. What he does in the morning helps set us up in the afternoon. Can't have any success in the afternoon unless you have a really good morning show. We have a great morning show. All right, Little League World Series. I know, Kevin, you have been absorbed in it. But also Todd Bartley up in Williamsport has been absorbed, and he's been there almost every day. The Uganda Little League team, Todd, was at Bowman Field the other night. That was quite an experience for all of us, wasn't it?
Oh, without question. And from the moment that they literally arrived at the complex in South Williamsport, they have been the darlings of this tournament. And for fans that may not know, my understanding is they did not have a single family member travel because of the economic conditions that they come from. And it was an amazing. They became the adopted team of this year's World Series. And yesterday's game against Oregon, I was there. It was amazing. And then I wasn't there at the conclusion, but to see the handshakes, the sportsmanship, and to see the kids from Oregon handing batting gloves to the kids from Uganda and then taking a picture, that's a snapshot of what our world could and should be right there.
I think when I watched them the other night, they walked in, they got a great ovation. Big smiles on their face. I think Tom Anderson was the one that threw out the first pitch. He did it from the mound. He didn't do it from 46 feet away. He did it from 60 feet, 6 inches away. And then they're walking to their seats. They sat in front of us, and they, again, big ovations. Then they participate in that game where they got on the inflatable horses, and the smile, they got the biggest kick out of that. And again, the same thing, they walk back to their seats. What's going to happen is this. Number one, you look, Todd, at years and years ago, and this is long before you were alive, long before you were born, Idi Amin and the raid on Entebbe and the view of Uganda then, to what they have done to give this country a view of Uganda now, with the big smiles on their faces, how they've been able to comport themselves. And then the other part is they're going to go back to home. They're going to tell everybody how great all the Americans are, because the Americans treated them like lovable kids.
The kid from Oregon last night that jumped into Bouncer's arms after the game, hugging him. The kids are hugging other kids up around the stadium, pictures and everything else. It is an amazing testament to the youth and just really the innocence of this whole tournament and where we could go as a society, Steve. It's amazing, the kindness, the sportsmanship. And, oh, by the way, they got the first-ever win for a team from Africa in World Series history yesterday.
Yeah, which is just, it's just great news for them. It's nice that they're allowed to continue to play on even though they're out of the tournament. That way they got the full two-week experience.
It's awesome. Yeah. I mean, it really is awesome.
On the international side, which team do you think has been the best team, Japan or Panama?
I'll tell you what, kind of the dark horse in this deal is Mexico. With the way they swing the bats, my goodness.
Yeah.
But Japan, really, with the extra inning win over Asia Pacific, they're really kind of the cream of the crop right now. And then to see that, you know, the team that they're going to be taking on, it's the key to this whole tournament is quality pitching. And we've seen it more so in the international bracket than we have in the U.S. bracket. So on the international side, I kind of like Japan.
It's interesting how every team from Japan that plays in this tournament, they always go out to Howard Lomedy's statue and all touch it like they touch the top of his head the way that they touch the rock at Clemson. It's amazing how they've kept that tradition regardless of which team is here.
Yeah, there. And what's great is sitting in with the Japanese folks, the coaching staff, the players in the press conferences, and the reverence and the respect that they give this tournament, all of the different things that go around with it, all the traditions, and the great respect that they have for this tournament.
What about the American side? I know Tennessee was at the park the other night. A lot of people are very high on them. What teams so far or teams on the American side have been the ones that have risen?
The Connecticut team had the no-hitter the other night, and then the West took care of business last night in a 5-0 shutout. And you know those teams from Hawaii and California that have traditionally had some success here at the Little League World Series, you know, they're kind of the front runners as well. And the team from Tennessee has really kind of caught everybody kind of as a favorite on the U.S. side as well. I think the Southeast is playing the Southwest later on tonight under the lights. So really we have to see who plays tonight, see who comes out of there in the U.S. semifinal to see what we're going to see on Saturday.
You mentioned the pitching you thought may be deeper on the international side. What's impressed you on the American side?
The power, again. Just the size of the kids at 12 years old. When you got kids 6'2", 6'3", you know, pushing 170 pounds at 12, just the size of the kid, it's unbelievable. And they keep getting bigger every year.
The coaches in this, coaches are mic'd up often in this by ESPN, and the things that they say on the mound, in the dugout, and so forth, makes you feel really good about the coaching the kids are getting. You have a chance to sit down and really talk to them, get a feel for them. What impresses you about these volunteers?
That's them. You're seeing those people, and I'll go back to last year's Keystone team. That's Bill Garber as Keystone's manager. Composure. You're hearing a lot of this, especially with visits to the mound. Hey, guys, composure. You know, let's just get the next batter. Let's get this out, and then let's go bat. If, you know, let's get the double play ball. Then we'll go in and we'll hit because it's our turn. We don't want to give up another run. You know, those types of things. It's always an encouraging sign. It's a lot different, I'm sure, than if we had mics on, you know, Aaron Foltz, our pitching coach, or manager Andy Tracy, or the Spike skipper, or Spike's pitching coach. It's a little different when you're being paid to play the game.
Yeah, no question about that. Now, no Keystone. Last year was the anomaly with everyone always wondered if a local team ever made it, what it would be like, and we found out, my goodness, I mean, 25, 30,000 a game when a local team played. What about this time around? Back to the norm. So what's it been like around South Williamsport? What have the crowds been like?
7 to 10,000 on any given day. Last weekend, everything was packed. Of course, when everybody goes back to work, you know, Monday, Tuesday, the early week, a little bit smaller crowds. But I'm sure it's going to pick up as we get in now to the midweek and then get into the championship weekend. And Saturday and Sunday, it'll be packed again. I don't know quite 40, 45,000 was last year, but it'll be packed nonetheless.
Right. And that, again, the Keystone part, that's a totally different animal because everyone wondered what it would be like to have a local team get in there. Well, we found out last year what it's like when a local team gets in there. Another group that gets overlooked in all of this, but they are also absolute volunteers in all this. And I spoke to this group, I think, 4 or 5 years ago, I spoke to them at their luncheon at Gennetti's, and that's the umpiring group. We had a chance to talk with them a little bit and about the dedication it takes for them to give up their time to actually be a part of this.
Yeah, these guys come in on their own dime and volunteer for 2 weeks. And don't forget this either. They're taking the foul balls. They're taking the shots. They're standing out there with all the padding on and the helmet, just like the catcher, 90-degree weather sometimes, all for the love of the game and to give these kids an amazing experience. And, oh, by the way, they're different than big league ups right now, Steve, because they have more instant replay challenges than they have in the major leagues.
Right.
And for the most part, they're getting it right.
Yeah, it's a step forward, too. I mean, it's a step forward. It takes the argument out when you have more, and that's the starting point right there. What about the volunteers that we don't see that have really made this tournament in Williamsport, and what does it take year-round to make South Williamsport and Williamsport shine the way they do during this?
The aunts and uncles that are with each team, the team hosts, they really make this thing go. They've been doing it for decade upon decade upon decade. Those are kind of the unsung heroes of this tournament, and they're all volunteers. the ushers, the folks that are working there, the people that are driving the vans to get the kids, you know, to and from. It's just, it's an amazing thing. And I've been a part of the Pro Football Hall of Fame Festival in Canton, Ohio, years back. That's an undertaking. That's primarily volunteer-driven as well. These folks in this community, and same thing for Canton, Ohio, they take it upon themselves to make it a great event here in Williamsport specifically for the kids that are coming from all over the world. That's the driving force in what makes this event, and I'll go on record. I've been on record this year saying this, and it's true. This is the greatest event, I think, in sports, period.
Yeah.
Because it is so innocent in its concept. You got kids playing for the love of the game, for country pride, for a championship of the world. It's just, it's amazing.
What's the economic impact on Williamsport with this? I mean, because obviously we're talking about, you know, when you go there, for example, I mean, if you just want to go to the game, it's $1 for a hot dog, 50 cents for chips, and, you know, 50 cents or $1 for a soda, whatever it happens to be. It's just like a Little League game at Montressor Park. But what's the economic impact on the area other than the goodwill part of it?
I don't know the number of dollars and cents. I'm sure it's well into the millions. But this place goes absolutely crazy for 2 weeks. Our office is just off the Market Street Bridge, which is the bridge which links Williamsport to South Williamsport, the primary bridge that does that. And to see the amount of traffic to and from on a daily basis, we now have a brand-new hotel across the street, a brand-new parking deck across the street, another hotel going up down the street. I mean, hotels are popping up in downtown Williamsport like it's going out of style. What's great is these hotels are now filled to capacity so that fans don't have to go 40 and 45 miles away, because that's the economic impact for the region. It's not just Williamsport and South Williamsport, it's the region. Because people come from all over the country, all over the world, to see this tournament for 2 weeks. The economic impact is phenomenal for this area.
You know, also the organization itself. Your impressions of the Lance Van Auken and everybody else, and just the pure organization of it.
Well, Steve Keener is the guy at the top of the food chain. He does a great job. He's a baseball guy. I've had the fortune of covering you know, his youngsters as they've come through here in Lycoming County and the different schools that they played at. They're now at the collegiate level. And from he to Chris Downs and Steve Barr and Lance over the media relations office to Pat Wilson over in the operations office, to put on this kind of event. Now, understand, I mentioned the Hall of Fame before. That's 1 week of festivities around an enshrinement ceremony and one game. Steve, there's five games on the calendar 2 days ago.
Right.
That the world's watching on international TV, on ESPN, that these guys have to get it right every day for 2 weeks. They do a phenomenal job.
What has it meant? People have always, in some ways, bemoaned expansion of anything. Oh, there are too many teams in the Stanley Cup playoffs. There are too many teams in the NBA playoffs. Oh, look, they're adding another playoff round to Major League Baseball. But Little League went from 8 to 16. What did that mean for the profile of the tournament when they did that?
Well, for me, and having not been here when they had the 8, but only been here when they've had the 16, I look at it as two 8-team tournaments, because you have the two different brackets and then the crossover you play for the World Final. I look at it as two individual 8-team tournaments playing into a single championship game. And when you go to the double elimination format that they're now going to, instead of the pool play situation that they did a couple of years ago, I really, really like the new double elimination format as opposed to the old pool play, so to speak, format. I really like the new double elimination consolation game, and you get what you got yesterday. With Oregon playing Europe for a game that everybody goes, oh, it's a consolation game, it doesn't mean anything. Are you kidding me? To the kids from Uganda and the kids from Oregon, they're going to be telling their grandkids, grandkids, grandkids that story. I mean, it's phenomenal.
Well, you go in there. I mean, look, if you're going to go there and have to and make a trip, and for any of them, I don't care if it's Parsippany, New Jersey, Fairfield, Connecticut, or Tokyo, Japan, you still have to take time to make the trip. You might as well make it worthwhile for the kids. And that's what I like, is that they've made it worthwhile for the kids. Yeah, you lost your two, you're out, but you still get to play some baseball on the big stage.
That, and they're making friendships. Think about this now. We have Facebook, Twitter, everything else. So these young men at 12, 13 years old are coming to Williamsport, Pennsylvania. Now they meet each other, they trade pins, they get to know each other. Because of the internet and email and Facebook and everything else we have today that they didn't have years and years ago, these kids can stay literally in constant contact for years to come, and they're never going to forget the experience that they had in South Williamsport, Pennsylvania.
Okay, so who wins the U.S. side? Who wins the international side?
Can we do this on Friday?
So thought we'd have a little fun here.
I'll tell you, watching Japan beat Asia Pacific, it just seems like they've got what it takes to bring that world championship home. And I like Tennessee. I like California. Mm-hmm. You can't really go wrong. Either one of those two U.S. teams come out. It's going to be a great day on Sunday. I know that. And with Trevor on the road covering the cross-cutters, I actually get to be in person on Sunday for a world final for the first time in 6 years.
That's great. You'll enjoy it very, very much. And get a chance when you see Rob Thomas, you tell him I said hi, even though I did say to him hi to him the other night. But I know Rob does a great job volunteering his time, by the way, as the public address announcer.
And does Gabe Sinacropi.
And, yep, Gabe does as well. You know, and it's great that they're a part of it. Just it's great they're a part of it. It's a total community effort. Todd, thanks so much. It's always great seeing you, my friend, and I will get to see you in person on Labor Day weekend when the Cutters come in.
Indeed, Stephen. I will. I'll definitely have your ice cream ready for you Labor Day weekend.
Hey, I took care of Putnam the other night. It was his birthday.
19 all over again, isn't he?
Mentally, yes.
Thank you, Steve.
Thanks, Todd. Todd Bartley, come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK after this. Thanks to Todd Bartley for being on the show today. We're at the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. And don't forget Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Saw Tom last night. Seemed to be doing really well. Also, Lenape Solar. We talked to the Lenape Solar people last night. Tremendous. Purdy's, our good friends from Brewers Outlet were there. Rick Weibel. On and on. It was a great night last night.
We'll be in the Catskills over the weekend.
Yes, we'll be at Grossinger. We'll be playing Grossingers. So
we'll play the Catskills this weekend. Yes.
Next hour, Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report.
Better be good news.
We'll find out. But we have Tony back on the show. Tomorrow, we will have on Ray Dittinger, one of the top football writers ever, Chris Wheeler, Phillies, and Erica Walsh from soccer, all on tomorrow's show. News top of the hour here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.